The first regular meeting of the High Plains Historical Foundation, held at City Hall, May 13th, 1972.
Wayne Tate is temporary chairman to conduct the election. Thomas Galvin nominated for president of the blank of the Historical Society. Mr. Sanford said, seconded, well, Mr. Sanford said, seconded by Mrs. Davis, nomination ceased, McGovern was elected unanimously. Vice President Tom Pendergrass, no nomination for the floor. Mr. Stout moved the nomination ceased and elected Mr. Pendergrass unanimously. Secretary Mrs. Ethel Wilkerson nominated. Mrs. Kilmer moved nomination ceased. Rachel Crystal second. Ms. Wilkerson was elected. Treasurer Bob Lockwood. Rachel Crystal read the motion we elect, or made the motion we elect Bob as treasurer. Ms. Woodburn second. It was unanimous. The floor is now open for three members to serve on the board. Mr. Wayne Tate has been nominated for a one-year term. Catherine Williams was nominated for a two-year term. And Mr. Jim Blake nominated for a three-year term. Mr. Stout moved the nomination cease and the above be elected. Rachel Crystal seconded. Okay, then we had a vote on the name. We had first vote, Historical Foundation. Now wait, I can't hardly tell about this. All right, the first vote was 9-10. Bert, I can't tell what you got here. Anyway, we had two votes on this thing. I know the first vote was voted on three names, and we eliminated one name, remember? And we voted on the second name, and it came to 9-12 we have here. Now, Mr. Stout speaks for the Eastern New Mexico Historical Foundation name. Mr. Tate proposed we pass out the ballots and vote. Ms. Kilmer seconded. Ms. Woodburn stated we have one at Lubbock named Southwest Collection. Mr. Tate moved the names be selected in rotation. Mr. Tate voted on losing side. He voted if we adopt the second. Anyway, the motion passed unanimously at the High Plains Historical Foundation. Ballot. Mr. Tate moved they be accepted. Don Kilmer seconded, and no opposition in passing unanimously. Adopted this 8th day of April of 1972. Mr. Tate questioned the vacation time from May to September. Of course, we decided that we were going to have vacation time between May and September. Chairman suggested we meet all summer the first year. The minutes stated we are to meet the second Saturday in a month. May 13th, the next meeting. Officers to get together with the elected officers between today and May 13th. Mrs. Woodburn will volunteer the info from the senior citizen. Chairman hopes we can get Tate Carter to interview people. Mr. Stout said his daughter is writing a book on homestead life and will have fabulous information for us covering the northern part of the northern part of the state, of which is mean northern part of the county. Mr. Blake has old albums from Ranchville House. No, not just Ranchville. Has a business directory from 1896. Mr. Stout said we should set these interviews down because they might not be with us too long. Mr. Tate suggested everybody, the committee of one, take a few things down that they interview. Tate moved we adjourn at 8:40 p.m. And so, according to the, you heard the minutes of this last meeting. Are there any corrections other than the one we fill in the blanks? We had a blank back here about the name of the organization. Are there any corrections or any changes we should make to these minutes? I move that they be approved as read. Set that down, Mr. Now, it mentions that we have a meeting, the officers have a meeting between that date and the day we did. And I wrote you a letter, but I wasn't sure it got to you. Did it?
Yes, it did, but it is impossible for me to get here. Okay. And I've already tied up.
Okay. Now, Ms. Wilkerson, you read the minutes from that business meeting we had, would you?
Mr. President, officers, ladies and gentlemen, minutes of executive board meeting, High Plains Historical Foundation, May 1st, 1972.
We're looking at the top of the letter.
I'm sorry. The first monthly business meeting, called by President Bob McGalvy, was held in the home of Vice President Tom Pendergrass at 2501 Gidding Street, with Mrs. Pendergrass as hostess. The session was called to order at 7:30 p.m. by the president. Others present included Mr. Pendergrass, Mr. Bob Lockwood, treasurer, Mrs. Ethel Wilkerson, secretary, and Mr. Tom Grady, guest. High on the agenda was consideration of a replacement for Mrs. Catherine Williams, who had been elected at the April 8, 1972 meeting for a two-year term on the board of directors. Present and pressing business interests dictated Mrs. Williams' inactivity at the present time. Names discussed and presented for consideration as the new board member were Mr. Doc Gaddis, Mr. Tom Grady, and Mr. Ed Randall. It was unanimously decided by officers present that all dues will become due and payable at the same time to preclude unnecessary bookkeeping. A suggestion was made by the president, and motion was made by Tom Pendergrass and seconded by Bob Lockwood, that a fact sheet would be printed as a form historical record and be sent or given to members and prospective members for submittal of biographical data. The motion carried. Mr. Pendergrass became the first member of the High Plains Historical Foundation to respond to the suggestion made at the 8 April 1972 meeting that early history be recorded on tapes by individuals. His recording of Clovis and New Mexico, Curry County history, brought chuckles from the group as he told of an early day election in which Mexican Santa Fe Bridge gang laborers were marched to the polls to give an overwhelming victory to one politician. Refreshments served by the hostess included delectable, traditional, old-fashioned tea cakes, which she had made. The meeting adjourned at 8:55 p.m. Signed, FOC Wilkerson, secretary.
Well, thank you. I didn't know you had all that in there. You talk about the tea cakes, too?
I'll have to tell Virgie about that.
As you recall now, Mrs. Williams, Catherine Williams, said she regrets she cannot serve as a member of the board. So we would like to elect a new member to fill her vacancy tonight. And, the board is supposed to do this off on our recommendation, but I felt like the whole the group ought to select this new member or this another member. We mentioned three names, and also the when we was organizing, we also had T.J. Tipton's name mentioned. So I want to add his as the fourth name here on this list of names that suggested to be our new board member to fill a vacancy. Are there any other suggestions or recommendations for this vacancy?
Question, Don. Did anybody contact Ed Randall?
Tom Grady, did you
I just had that done.
Ed Randall had expressed a desire earlier last year when we talked about forming something, but he's a pastor now, I think, over at Fort Sumner. Of course, he was in Texas.
But I understand he's driving back and forth.
Oh, he just goes there Sunday. But my idea was we ought to have somebody further out from Clovis than we've got now. Only person on the board outside of Clovis, I think, is Pete, you ought to draw to you. But everybody else on the board is here in Clovis. We don't want people to think this is just a Clovis Historical Society. So if that's just an idea now. Mr. Tipton's from Portales. Tom Grady's from the, he's from Clovis. He would represent if he's on the board of Texaco.
Yeah, but Texaco hadn't really relinquished rights on Tom yet.
They haven't relinquished rights on Tom. And Doc Gaddis has been here forever, here in Clovis, it seems. He'd make a good member. Any of these people would. So it's hard for me to make a decision or recommend any one of these, all of them, to it. So I'm going to leave up to the group to nominate or elect a new board member. Are there any motions to that effect? Or should we put the names on a ballot or something? Goodwin, you got any suggestions?
Well, if you're looking for someone out of town, and you say Mr. Pittman's from out of town, I would nominate Mr. Pittman.
Nominate Mr. Pittman. Okay, he's from McAllen. Let's put that in a formal motion, converse then.
Mr. President, I move that we accept Mr. Pittman by acclamation.
Mrs. Joe Sykes moved that we accept Mr. Pittman by acclamation.
I move that we second.
Okay, and then Mrs. Harper seconded it. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded that we accept Mr. T.J. Tipton, Tipton by acclamation. All in favor of that motion? Think about saying aye or raise your right hand. Okay, all opposed? Okay, well, Mr. Tipton, you're a member of the board for this, this was a...
Two-year term.
Two-year term. Don't worry, everybody, you'll all have your turns at this, hopefully. Okay, that part of the business is taken care of. Now, since we met last, we've had several gifts, donations to the Historical Society group. One of them was this tape recorder here, a portable tape recorder. It was donated, it was a $75 machine donated by the Post House Arts Council. And this machine on the table here, this $165 machine, was donated by Laura Harvey. And we're real tickled about both of them. This machine here is plays off the reel. It's a reel type machine. So these little machines here play on these little cassettes. It's real handy to go out and record somebody. Then I figure get a lot of recordings, and we can put them on a master tape on this machine. And also use this machine for anything. And while we're talking about things that were donated, here the other night, the board of the Arts Council met and decided to donate these booklets we have to the historical group here. This is 19 close data days that some of us got put together. And so over 1,000, I'm not sure the correct number, but over 1,000 were donated. Because they already paid for themselves, see, and they got their money back in printing. And they put up, our group would all have those. So we had been selling for $2, and if our group wants to have these, anybody wants them, I think we ought to go sell them for a dollar for the Historical Foundation. That way, our group would have the money. Let's have a minute if we got these donations.
Yes, sir.
I.D. Johnson, Dr. Johnson, wants to give us some of Bill Duckworth's papers. And he's selling his house and moving into an apartment, apparently, so he said between now and the time he moves, he'll go through and get, sort out the things that, that aren't personal that he'd want to give the rest of us. Tom Grady just handed me a sheet.
Don, where would you have to store those or put them?
Okay.
They're valuable.
Yeah. The chamber is Alphadus, a filing space in the Chamber of Commerce building.
It's good enough.
They suggested, and I've got several of these little file boxes, and we'll just try to record them or put a file in there some way in some kind of order. But I'm sure that, I haven't gone through those papers, but there's, in those papers we found Mr. Tate's brother's, some of his stuff about that thesis he wrote in 1934 about Curry County mentioned. That's how we got hold of the thesis itself. But there's other stuff in there. There's a 1908 paper, The Clovis Democrat. It wasn't published too long.
Wasn't a pony post in there, was it?
I'm not sure, but I think maybe he had a copy. I'm not quite sure.
That was the Clovis First Daily.
Yeah. But
me and Harry Armstrong put that paper out.
You and Harry Armstrong did?
I was the printer's devil.
Now, that's not funny, because I was a printer's devil too one time. That's a printer, you know. We weren't
devil. I was a printer's devil in the circulation department.
But Tom Grady just handed me this thing he wanted us to have. It's the arithmetic. It's first and second grades from the territory of New Mexico, January 1909. And it's a test they gave to the students at that time.
What grades?
The first, it says first and second grades. And you had 100 minutes to complete this test. It's a math arithmetic test. So anybody wants to look at that later?
A little early.
Save this, put it in our file. And clipping from the New Mexican, Santa Fe, New Mexican, about a fellow over here in Texaco that some of you might know, Fred Whitehead. We'll save those and put them in our files. I'm trying to think that there are other papers that Mr. Sweet that gave me that map that they look at. He's got the map, what was it coming in? He has some early papers, and he has a paper printed in 1935 called the Hoositz Gazette. It was a one-time thing, and it was kind of a funny political type paper. I think they only printed one copy, one edition. But he's going to laminate it. Maybe we can have that.
For when? 35?
35.
Well, I could do a little thinking and name the guys that done it.
Okay. Mentioned in the minutes, too, was these fact sheets that we printed up on. And I'm hoping that I can get a bunch out to the Retirement Ranch and different places, the Melrose, Senior Citizens, and all. And Alice, I want you to have some of these. And these are simple fact sheets. Anybody, everybody you see that might have been here in early days, would like to have a fact sheet on. And from these fact sheets, maybe we can determine if we can go out and tape them, see if we can get a story. Okay, thank you, sir.
You want to take them now?
You want to take them now?
I was wondering if that was what you meant.
Well, anybody and everybody, and I'd like for each of our members to fill one out. That way we would get your phone and your address on here, and so right after this meeting's over, let's just each of us pick up one or a few, and if you know some of these old timers, let's see if they get one. And an address here to mail them back to you. If you don't bring them back to me, you mail them back to me. Now, to get on with our business, one item yet before we get to Tom's tape. This is, I think, our first step in getting some of these interviews. We're going to get voluntarily. Some people are going to say, well, I want, like Tom, taped a story. But we just can't jump out and tape a person without realizing that we've got a lot of people, we've got a kind of tape would like to do histories. Maybe with these things here would give us more to go on. There's some people in the county that's getting into the names. And I think these people are really the ones we ought to see first.
Now, the New Society editor is a man at the Kerr County Times.
Yeah.
And he wants to interview old timers.
This is Rob Davenport.
Davenport. He grew up somewhere in this vicinity. I'll follow it. And he wants to interview the old timer.
What's your name?
Ron Davenport.
Ron. I thought you said Tom. You say he's
well,
dead.
That's fine. Maybe we can help him, maybe he can help us. They've been getting up information material on this John Daniels, the former business, the Oliver, Kenneth Oliver. Oh, Rachel, come in. You just missed most of the business. Yes, the sword is here.
Somebody left the parking lights on the car.
What car was it? Green?
What car looks exactly like the other to me?
Is it dark out there now?
Not too dark.
Well, that's all right, Rachel. That's all right. Just don't think 30 minutes, 40 minutes, everything's going to go down. I think I gave everybody their membership card, except Rachel and Jesse Sarge just come in. Also, a thought for, let's say, for instance, next month or month after that, a program, we could talk to some of these people that we may be able to interview, but maybe they could come and talk to us in person, see? At the same time they talk to us, we can take them. This has been suggested.
I'd like to make a suggestion on that. Back in, before there was Clovis, there was two or three very noted prairie fires. Now, it's hard for anybody to realize now, the grass is short, that back in those days it was belly deep to a horse. And when one of them got started, it really meant something. I witnessed one in Texaco before I moved over here. And there was one, I think it's back about 1890, that went from north of Melrose plumb to the Texas County line. And there's still some people around this neck of the woods that knows about those forest fires. I mean those prairie fires. And that would be an awfully good interview if anybody can tell about those prairie fires.
There was one in 1894.
That's the one I'm talking about, 1894. I couldn't call it right off the bat, since you mentioned it, that's it.
There was a bad one in 1906. There was a bad one in 1906.
Well, is that the one south of Texaco? Yeah.
No, it came from way over where Fred Ashley lived and went clear to the Great.
Tom Grady probably remembers that one, 1906 in south Texaco. I do. We sat on the front
Sheep
porch.
Sheep man used to burn the sand hill, though.
Huh?
Sheep man used to burn the sand hill, though.
Yeah.
Pretty grass. Sand hill was just a little course for the sheep. They come in and burn it on.
But I do believe, though, that if we have a program each meeting time, we'll have a better attendance and have more interest. Because it's really the business that can be taken care of. It can be taken care of real quick, like. But the suggestions you have, well, let us know. Rachel?
I have some material that I think you'll be interested in. Sorry I came so late, but there was a conflict. There was a recital over at Marshall Hood I had to attend to, so I cut it in half. Besides, my husband helped me out by giving me a list of people that he knows for a fact have a lot of back history. They're old timers, and we better catch them before they pass away.
You got a list of them?
I have a list. There's Bud O'Donnell from Melrose. There's Mrs. Joe Beavers from Forest, Luke Hudson from Clovis, Jim Dahl from Greer, Cleve Smith from Fort Sumner, Shorty Matlock from Grady, Lee Hatfield from Grady and in town, Riley Stout from Broadview, Claude Newville from Melrose, the Rutherfords from Broadview, Charles McIntosh from Clovis, P.A. Trendon, south of Clovis, Moody Brazel, Fort Sumner. George,
what was that name again? Moody?
Moody. George Borden from Grady, Henry Long, east of Yeso. You know him. Mrs. Johnson from the Melton Studios, you know Sanders. Earl of the Oliveira from Clovis, Tom Grady, Grandma Doherty, that's Archie's mother, and Foster Scott from Clovis. Also, remember the question about tape recorders? Well, I got four or five people who are interested in letting us have tape recorders on the please return.
That's good.
There's Ben Hall, and he's got a telephone number.
Now, this Ben Hall in Fort Sumner? You say Ben Hall?
Ben Hall.
Okay, yeah. Ben Hall probably out here at Worley's.
He works here at Worley's. And then there is, what's his name, that police officer from Texaco, who says he has one. Clem Collins has a recorder. She's one of the teachers over at the grade school. Jesse Sarles says there is a used one at the school.
there, you, that you think that, that we can have.
That we can have?
I don't know, I think that. I think if we work, I think if we work hard, and we might be in that discussion, I had borrowed it sometimes. And then the library has one that we can borrow at any time.
Rachel, we just mentioned before you came in, we've had two machines. We've had two machines donated to us already, which is good.
Good, that's wonderful.
And, but...
So here are the rest of them.
That's good.
And Tom wants to see the list before I give it to you.
This Moody Brazel, we was hunting, I was hunting for the name of the, Pete Maxwell and a guy named Brazel, first brought cattle from Fort Sumner, Martha Melrose, and started at Old Horseshoe Ranch.
This is Brazel.
And see, he just had a question mark by the name Brazel, so I didn't know...
He's from Fort Sumner. He can reach there.
It might have been his father, but I don't know, he may not have been old enough to have been.
Well, this Moody is an old, old man.
He's still in Fort Sumner.
And you better catch him quickly.
That's a good thing. While we're talking about tape recorders, is anybody here that's had experience with using a tape recorder? Joe, do you?
My husband has a tape recorder that he uses very efficiently, but I'm not good at it.
Do any of y'all think you'd be good with a tape recorder to interview somebody? I mean, maybe we ought to have a session sometime, workshop, just to learn how these things work and best way to go about interviewing somebody to get the best information. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah. I don't know how to use one. Explain to me, but call me around because I need somebody to call me.
I'm sure these are small light things, and
those light ones, if someone would teach me to use them, I could.
The thing that bothers me when going to interview somebody that never has been talked too much with the tape, they're scared of this machine and they don't want to say too much. So most of the time, you sit there writing names down or information on a pad, and then go out and tape it, maybe to keep things fresh in your mind. But if you can let this thing sit there and just start talking, thing will automatically record, you know, you don't have to touch it. But they're easy enough to operate.
Yeah, here's one that's easy enough to operate. Anybody that's just a little bit smarter than I am can operate.
Tom Pendergrass, I think we'll go ahead and listen to your tape now. Do you think you can get enough volume here?
Well,
you want to give me background on this tape? I mean, tell them how you, or you explain in there how you came about.
Well,